hostages released by Hamas are beginning to tell their stories. Their families are passing on those stories to call attention to the remaining captives seized when Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th. NPR's Becky Sullivan reports.
On October 7th, the Aloni family had crowded inside their home's safe room as Hamas fighters rampaged through their kibbutz just a couple miles from Gaza. There were two grown sisters, one of their husbands, and three of their children. The situation was dire. Inside, the house was burning and filling with smoke. Outside, they could hear gunshots, as one sister later recounted to her brother.
She said, "I would rather die quickly than to suffocate along with my kids." And so they opened the window, and about six or seven terrorists were standing there.
This is their brother, Moran Aloni, who wasn't there that day. Hamas released the two sisters and their daughters last month during the seven-day ceasefire as part of an exchange for the release of Palestinian prisoners and detainees held by Israel. Moran Aloni recently told their story in a press conference organized by the Hostages and Missing Families Forum, an organization that has sprung up to advocate for the hostages. The families were jumbled up as they were brought into Gaza, he says, and one of the children, the three-year-old Emma, was separated from the family altogether.
Someone just snatched Emma from my sister Danielle's hands.
He says for days as they were held in a small room, his sister Sharon and her husband, David Cunio, were sure that Emma had died during the abduction.
These were 10 agonizing days for them. On the 9th or 10th day, my sister heard a cry, and she said to David, "I'm hearing Emma crying." And David said, "You're imagining things." Probably thought it was because of the grief, but a mother is never wrong.
Within minutes, he says, an unknown woman entered the room with Emma in her arms. There, together, they stayed for weeks more in that same room with about 10 other hostages. It was tough to manage, he said, especially the young kids.
When they needed something, they needed to knock on a door, and maybe someone would come there to them after 1 hour, maybe 4 hours. They weren't sure.
Eventually, the family was split up again, this time when Sharon's husband, David, was taken away.
They never saw him again. We're not sure what's his condition at the moment. We obviously don't know where he is. He's still there.
His other sister, Danielle Aloni, was held separately, along with her six-year-old daughter, Amelia. They were moved from place to place, he says. The conditions were different each time. Daylight wasn't a given. In one of the rooms where they were held, they were ordered to be quiet for days on end.
They didn't know the voices of the people they were with, only in whispers. And again, think about a child with nothing to do, with nothing to play, unable to speak up, unable to laugh, unable to cry, unable to shout.
In total, the Aloni sisters and their children spent about 50 days in captivity. Their story aligns with what other freed hostages and their families say about the experience. They talk about the trauma of being abducted on October 7th. Their towns were overrun, their homes invaded, neighbors killed and kidnapped. Inside Gaza, the hostages were kept in small groups in unknown locations. In a meeting last week with the Israeli War Cabinet, some hostages described experiences of sexual abuse in captivity, according to the Associated Press. Medical experts say those released have been in decent physical condition, though clearly showing signs of their ordeal. Dr. Yael Moser-Glassberg, a physician whose hospital received dozens of returning hostages, said they had typically lost 10 to 15% of their body weight out of stress and limited access to food.
One family of my patient that received at 10 a.m. a cup of tea and a biscuit. From time to time, there was a dry date. And then at 5 p.m., there was rice.
Water was limited too, she says, both for drinking and for bathing.
We have one family who took three showers in 54 days, and one of the kids who took none shower at all on 54 days. And you can imagine the medical hygiene that they came back. I've never seen in my life such a terrible, terrible hygiene.
Moser-Glassberg says the lack of hygiene led to skin rashes and lice. As for their mental health, no one can say what recovery will look like. Another account came from Hen Avigdori. He was reunited with his wife and 12-year-old daughter last month after they were released. Noam, his daughter, is okay physically, he says. But she still won't let him leave her side.
I just asked her, well, can I get the trash down? And she wouldn't permit it. She have woken sometimes during the night screaming.
There are 115 hostages still being held in Gaza, Israeli officials told NPR Thursday. Avigdori says he recently got a phone call from a father whose 24-year-old son is one of them.
And the pain of this father was so touching to me that I have to lie to him, that I have to say to him, your boys will be fine. And I started to say things that I'm not necessarily believing them in 100%. But this man was drowning in despair. I have to say something because he saw the picture of me hugging my wife. I have to give him hope because hope is all I have for 50 days.
Negotiations to release more hostages fell apart late last month. A ceasefire then ended, and the Israeli military has since resumed its offensive, driving up the death toll in Gaza. The families group has now started to release videos of the freed hostages speaking out on their own, including Danielle Aloni. It was terrifying, she says. You sleep and you cry. Every day that passes is like an eternity. People are in danger there. They can die just because somebody decided. The accounts have increased the pressure on Israeli leaders to find a way to bring the hostages home safely. Israeli officials say they are doing everything they can to do so. Becky Sullivan, NPR News.